Is any sick among you? Let him call for the elders of the church, and let them pray over him, anointing him with oil in the name of the Lord. And the prayer of faith shall save the sick, and the Lord shall raise him up. And if he have committed sins, they shall be forgiven him. Confess your faults one to another, and pray for one another that you may be healed. The effectual, fervent prayer of a righteous man availeth much. Elias was a man subject to like passions as we are, and he prayed earnestly that it might not rain, and it rained not on the earth by the space of 3 years and 6 months. And he prayed again, and the heaven gave rain, and the earth brought forth her fruit. Brethren, if any of you do err from the truth, and one convert him, let him know that he which converteth the sinner from the error of his way shall save a soul from death, and shall hide a multitude of sins. Lord, will bless to our hearts the reading of his word. Let's bow our hearts in a moment of prayer. Our Father, we have been singing this evening of the wonder of your love to us. The wonder of the love of the Lord Jesus Christ, that he loved us unto death. We thank you, our Father, that we have been brought into a living relationship with you through the Lord Jesus Christ, our Savior. We pray tonight that as we look at one of our great privileges, we pray that you would teach us, that these things may be real to us, that we may grow in the things of the Lord, that we may grow in grace and in the knowledge of the Lord Jesus Christ. So bless us, we pray, in Jesus' name. Amen. I have intimated to you on several occasions while I've been speaking on Elijah that I was going to speak on the prayers of Elijah. A man who became a very good friend of mine wrote a book, The Two Prayers of Elijah. And someone else wrote a book correcting, saying that there are not two prayers of Elijah. There are three prayers of Elijah. I'm not going to write a book, but I want to tell you tonight there are five prayers of Elijah recorded for us in the Word of God. First of all, we're told in James that he prayed that it would not rain, and it did not for the space of 3.5 years. He declared the statement of that to King Ahab. You read that in 1 Kings chapter 17. Then in 1 Kings chapter 17, we are reminded that the woman who had the young son who died, that Elijah took the young man, and alone with God, he lay on top of the young man, and the Word of God says, he cried unto the Lord. I would suggest to you that that was a prayer that God would give life, that God would restore this young man's soul to him. And he did. The third prayer we looked at, Elijah on Mount Carmel. For after the prophets of Baal had done all that they tried to do, we find that Elijah turns his eyes to heaven and prays. And he asks the Lord to show that he is the God who answers by fire. The fourth prayer is when he was under the juniper tree. If he was 3-0 for the first three prayers in God answering them, it goes to 3-1 when he prays under the juniper tree. And we spent some time on that a couple of Sunday evenings ago. And I suggested to you that he was wrong because he prayed something that was not in his hand. It was in God's hands. He prayed for something that was selfish and that was on the spur of the moment, dependent on his own understanding. For the great man of God said, God, I've had enough. It's time for you to let me die. I want to suggest to you that if you've never felt that, you can judge Elijah. If you've never felt that things are too heavy for you and the Lord has deserted you and things are not going right and it would be better off for you to die, you can judge Elijah. I can't judge him. I've had times in my life when, through despondency and almost despair, I have had to look to the Lord and say, Lord, I might be better off if you just take me home. Or the Lord, ask the Lord to give you a purpose, give me a purpose to go on. The last prayer is the prayer for rain. And again to Ahab, Elijah confidently declares, just as he said there would be no rain, he confidently declares that there would be rain. I want to suggest to you that Elijah was a man of prayer. He was a man of prayer much more than I am a man of prayer. In fact, I've got a confession to make tonight that most of the people that I have known in my Christian experience who have been warriors in prayer have not been men. They have been sisters in the Lord. I don't know why that is. I'm not going to build a doctrine around it. But some of the things that I wrote down tonight was, they are from my own experience. It's easier to complain than to pray. You ever found that? It's easier to get down and to get down as far as you think you can go than it is to pray. You know, the verse of Scripture that always comes to mind when we get right down to the very bottom, we're despondent almost. The verse of Scripture always comes and we cry unto the Lord and say, Lord, you've promised a way of escape. You know, I've asked myself sometimes, why did I let myself get that far down before I claimed the promise of the Lord that he had promised a way of escape? That he would open a door. It's easier to be negative than to pray. If I was to ask you the problems with Faith Bible Fellowship, some of you might say, well, we don't have any problems. Others would sit down and write for hours and hours and hours and hours, and they would make a list, a long list. But if I was to ask you, or to ask the same people, how long have you spent in prayer for Faith Bible Fellowship this week? I'll guarantee it would be a whole lot less time than it would take them to write their list of complaints and negative things. You see, the fact is, most believers are too proud to pray. Too proud. You see, prayer is an expression of utter weakness. It's an expression of utter dependency. You know, that's why I believe the gospel is so unwanted with ungodly people. Because the first thing you have to do in the gospel is to recognize that you're an unworthy sinner who deserves nothing from God but judgment for your sin. I mentioned this morning one of the things that God says about Ahab when he repented was, he says, "Elijah, have you seen how Ahab humbled himself?" Humbled himself. I want to suggest to you tonight that you and I can learn a lot from Elijah, the man of God, about prayer. But before we look at Elijah, I want to remind you of one simple truth. And that is that we are welcome in the presence of God to pray at any time only in the name of His Son, the Lord Jesus Christ. I have no entrance into God's presence on any other basis than the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. It's a privilege that is blood bought. It's a privilege that is given to us by our beloved Savior, that we might through Him be in constant communion with the Father. Elijah was a man of prayer. And I don't want this evening to discourage you or to chastise you, but I want to encourage you. Because you see, the Word of God, when it tells us He's a man of prayer, also tells us about His human weakness. That means that you and I have the same privilege to exercise in prayer. We can't say, oh, Elijah was a man of like passions like we are. We have the same weaknesses that he had. And then turn around and say, but Elijah prayed, and we can't. How did Elijah pray? I want to suggest to you that Elijah prayed intelligently. I don't want to be unkind when I say this, but I have sat in prayer meetings and found it very difficult to concentrate because of some of the prayers that have been prayed. In fact, I've had sometimes to keep myself from laughter. Do you ever think of some of the things we say in prayer? I've had it quoted last week. I was in a prayer meeting once when a lady prayed, "Lord, we know You're sovereign in most things." Good. Don't ask Him too much if He's only sovereign in most things. But can you imagine going into the presence of the God of heaven and telling Him that He's sovereign in most things? But then again, that's a whole lot better than the people who go into the presence of God and they speak to God and they tell Him He's not sovereign at all. God, You've handed it all over to us. It's all in our hands now. How many times have you heard that say, Lord, we leave it in your hands. We leave it in your hands. And I think to myself, how did we ever get the authority to take it out of his hands in the first place? You see, prayer isn't something you practice that becomes an art. Prayer isn't going into the presence of God and telling him all the things that are logical to you. I've been in a missionary prayer meeting and I've heard someone praying for 5 minutes, and what they've done in those 5 minutes, they've explained to God the situation in the Belgium Congo. All right explaining to you and I what's happening in the Belgium Congo, but is there any use in praying to a God who doesn't know? You see, I believe when Elijah prayed to the God of heaven, he knew who God was, he knew what God is able to do. And when he prayed that it wouldn't rain, to you and I, that may not be a very intelligent prayer. But to Elijah, it was absolutely intelligent. Now, I want you to notice he didn't pray, Lord, don't let it rain because we've got an outing tomorrow, or I've got something that I'm going to do tomorrow that it would be better if it didn't rain. Elijah's prayer that it would not rain was that the hearts of the people of God may be brought back to God. That the hearts of God's people may be turned away from the wickedness that had so enthralled them. And he prayed that it would not rain for the glory of God. And James records it for us so simply that Elijah prayed that it would not rain, and it rained not. It rained not. You see, he was in absolute tune. Step by step with God. You know, I believe that that's what prayer does. I've had people preach and I've listened on prayer moves the hand that moves the world. That God wasn't going to do something and we pray and God changes his mind and God does it. I don't know that that's a biblical view of prayer. I believe that what prayer does, it brings the hearts of God's people into line with that which is the perfect will of God. You know, the apostle tells us that the will of God is good. He tells us that the will of God is perfect. And he tells us that the will of God is acceptable. And when we pray, we don't make it more acceptable. We don't make it more good. We don't make it more perfect. What we really do is we surrender and we put our hands in the hand of God and we acknowledge his control. And we're brought into step with God, into line with God's will. The Word of God says that he will give you the desires of your heart. And I know people who read that and they'll go away and they'll make a list of what the desires of their heart is. But that's not what it means. It means that when we come in and we seek the face of God, he will put the desires in our heart that should be there for his will and his purpose and his glory. You see, he's either working all things according to the purpose of his will, or he changes his mind day by day, and we have the possibility of changing his mind when we pray. When I say that Elijah prayed intelligently, I believe it was according to the will of God and praying for the purpose of God to be fulfilled. It may even have been, as some have suggested, that God directly told Elijah to pray that there would be no rain, and that Elijah prayed it upon the authority of what God told him. But I want to suggest to you the second thing is that Elijah prayed believingly. He had absolutely no doubt in God's ability. Now, I want to make a little digression here, because some people get mixed up between what God can do and what God will do. And the easiest thing in the world when we come in prayer is to say, Lord, we know that you can do all things. It's an awful different thing when we say, Lord, we know that you will do. You see, Elijah didn't say, Ahab, God can cause it not to rain. He said, Ahab, God will cause it not to rain. Why? He believed God. He didn't only believe God's ability. He was in line with God's sovereign purpose. You read in James chapter 5, and it says in verse 15, the prayer of faith shall save the sick. It says in chapter 14, if anyone's sick among you, let him call for the elders of the church and let them pray over him, anointing him with oil in the name of the Lord. Of course, it's not for today, is it? I believe it is. I don't believe the oil is essential, but I believe there is a divine authority in prayer that we fail to exercise. I don't know that my wife even knows this, but about 10 years ago, just a couple of years after we came to North Carolina, I had a telephone call from a man who's one of the most faithful preachers of the Word of God that I've ever known. And when he called me, he said, Brother, do you believe what God says in James chapter 5? And I said, yes, I do. His name is Al Bean. He said, Brother, I would like to call you as an elder of the church and ask you to come and anoint me with oil and pray for me. He says, you see, the doctors have diagnosed me with cancer, and I'm claiming the promise of James 5. I've got to tell you, I didn't know where I stood. But that was on a Friday evening, and I was going down to Fayetteville to meet with that man on the Saturday morning. We didn't advertise it. We didn't broadcast it. We didn't do any of the things that are done today. We simply took a little bottle of oil, and I poured it on and prayed. And we claimed the promise of James 5. And I came away that morning knowing with absolute certainty that God had healed Pastor Albin. And he said to me as I left, I'll call you when the doctor confirms it. I know people who would go from the meeting tonight and say, "Girls of Pentecostal." No, it's not. Stood against Pentecostalism all my life, all my Christian life. Stood against it because it's man-centered. It was on the Wednesday of the week later that Al Bean called me and told me that he'd been to the doctor and they'd done a CAT scan, and the lump that was there the week before was no longer there. And the doctor was amazed. Let me ask you a question. Does God still answer prayer like that? Why don't we pray? Why don't we pray? You see, it says simply, the prayer of faith shall save the sick, and the Lord shall raise him up. And then in verse 16, it says, confess your faults one to another and pray one for another that ye may be healed. The number of times I have heard messages on the effectual, fervent prayer of a righteous man availeth much, and they've never mentioned God's ability to heal. And that's the very context James gives it to us in. He says, if there are any sick among you, now that doesn't mean God is going to heal all. But it means that you and I have the opportunity to put them to the test. What does the word effectual mean? It means ongoing. The ongoing fervent prayer availeth much. Let me ask you a question. When God answers prayer and we see God moving in a mighty way, who does the glory belong to? I believe the glory belongs to the Lord. I believe the glory belongs to the Lord. Elijah was a man subject to like passions as we are, and he prayed earnestly. Let me ask you, does that suggest that sometimes we don't pray earnestly? I remember hearing a preacher from Romania, a man named Richard Wurmbrand. And Richard Wurmbrand was many times imprisoned for his faith in Christ, for his public testimony to the gospel. And I met him in a little Presbyterian church in Belfast, and there were only about 20 of us there. And instead of him getting up preaching, he sat and we asked him questions. I remember when he looked at us and he said, someone, I can't remember what the question was, he says, but his wife was in the next cell, and the communist told him that he had better pray, because if he didn't recant his faith in Christ, he was going to hear the gun firing that would kill his wife. And I remember he looked at us and he says, you've no idea now what you would do. You know what he did? He prayed for the man whose hand the gun was in. And he prayed that God would forgive him and that God would save him. They didn't eventually kill his wife. They were just playing. They were just testing. But you know, an amazing thing happened. The amount of food that was delivered to their cells increased. The number of beatings decreased. And before he left prison, the prison guard who had held the gun came to him and said, "That night, I trusted Jesus as my Savior." You see, God still hears the prayer of faith. And I believe that it is the earnest prayer of faith that God looks for. And I ask myself the question sometimes, not only about the prayers of others, and I'm sorry if I give that impression, I ask myself the question about my own prayers. How earnest are they? How much do they mean? When I was at Bible college, there were two young men, Dennis Murphy and Frank Murphy, and myself would get together a couple of hours a week and we would pray for our families. You know, I had other students laugh at us because we were taking time outside of other prayer times to pray for our families. In less than a year, my father got saved. My mother got saved. Dennis's sister got saved. Dennis's mother got saved. Frank's father got saved. Frank's mother got saved. And we used to say to each other, they can laugh as much as they like. They can laugh as much as they like. Why? Because God was answering our prayers. God was answering. Now, I'm going to say to you, I meant what I said at the beginning, it's easier to complain than to pray. And if you were to sit down to write a list of complaints about faith, Bible, fellowship, or let me make it easy for you, sit down and write a list of complaints about Joe Gould. You could be there for hours. But stop for a moment and think, if there was one Elijah in Faith Bible Fellowship who prayed for Faith Bible Fellowship for the manifestation of the glory of God, how would things be today? I've heard wind of change and talking, and I'm not going to give my views, but I'm going to tell you something. Nothing is ever accomplished by God by changing meetings. God changes hearts. God changes attitudes. God changes people. His people. And then he blesses the church through the people that his mighty power has changed. You go back to 1 Kings 18 and look at verse 42, you'll find that Elijah prayed humbly. The Word of God tells us that he had his face between his knees. I can only suggest to you that he felt the great unworthiness that every human being who has ever been in the presence of God has felt. But it's not our worthiness that God blesses. It's our crying out to him, knowing that he is God and he is able. There's an old hymn on prayer that says, "Thou art coming to a king, large petitions with thee bring. For his grace and power are such, none can ever ask too much." Tell me, is that the God that we come to? I'd love to see this group on Wednesday night. I really would. I'd love to see this group coming here humbly confessing that they want to be at the prayer meeting because they want to see the blessing of God on Faith Bible Fellowship. I've got to be honest with you. There are Wednesday nights I don't feel like coming. But there's never a Wednesday night that I don't feel like coming, that I don't get blessed when I do come. I could find something to do every Wednesday night in life. But the question is, where does God want me to be? What does God want me to be involved in? And the answer, if the people of God are meant for ministry, He wants me to be there for the ministry. If the people of God are meant for prayer, He wants me to be there to be part of the prayer. I wrote something I heard a long time ago. Humility will teach us to pray. Pride will keep us from prayer. Prayer is the confession of our own inability. Self-ability keeps us from prayer. One thing before I finish. Elijah prayed persistently. I think the greatest rebuke to my prayer life is my sister Anne. I had prayed for her faithfully for years. I told you before, every time I called her, she lived in Canada, I lived in Liverpool. Every time I wasted my dollar to call her, she would say, if you mention the name of Jesus, the phone is going down. And I almost got to the place where I stopped praying. I certainly didn't pray for her with any confidence. We came over to visit Tom and Ruth when they were in Canada. And Tom and Ruth and Anne and David met us at Toronto Airport. We're standing in the median with cars flying in either direction on each side of us. And my sister Anne said, Joe, everybody else knows, but I wanted to tell you face to face. I got saved last week. You have no idea how close I came to taking her name off my prayer list. Why? Oh, I knew God could do it. But I didn't know that He would. In Luke 11, you can go home and read it. There's the woman or the man who comes at midnight and knocks on the door. Why does the man get what he asked for? The woman get what she asked for in another parable? Importunity. What does importunity mean? They came back and came back and came back and gave reason and gave reason and gave reason, and they prayed persistently and they prayed consistently and they prayed believingly. And Jesus gave it as a lesson for prayer. Prayer isn't fine words, you know. Prayer is the crying out of the heart to God when there's no other hope. but hope in God. Prayer, I believe, is most effective when it's with tears. Strong crying in prayers. Tell me, when was the last time you wept in the presence of God? You don't need to tell me. The Lord knows. You know. When was the last time we felt something so passionately that it moved us to tears? You know the biggest enemy of prayer in our lives? Complacency. Complacency. We're satisfied with what God has done in the past, and we're not really bothered with what He's going to do in the future. What a horrible place to be in. Elijah was a man of like passions like you and I. What made the difference? He was mighty in the presence of God in prayer. Mighty in prayer. And I believe mighty through prayer. Are we? Am I? Are you? Let's pray. Our Father, we thank You that part of prayer is what we experienced at the Lord's Supper tonight when we poured out our heart in love and adoration. We lifted up Your great name to worship. Father, we pray that as we have worshiped You, so we might worship You in the way that we pray. Help us to know that we don't come into Your presence to inform You. Help us to know that we come into Your presence and first of all we find acceptance because of our Lord Jesus Christ. And so often we are in need of being like the disciples when we say, Lord, teach us to pray. Teach us to pray. We pray that these things may encourage us to go back to Your Word and to find the many other great truths that You have given us concerning prayer. That You would bless us. That we may be a witness and a testimony for our Savior in this world of darkness.